I wore my favorite Christmas tie today. It has wise men on it. I have some with Christmas ornaments. I have some with other things of the world. But I found this one years ago. I don't remember how many years ago I found this tie, but I wear it every Christmas Eve. And since we can't have Christmas Eve, I wear it on Christmas Sunday. The biblical account of the wise men is so filled with questions. For instance, who were they? Were they priests? Were they kings? Were they astronomers? Were they astrologers? Probably they were astrologers, but we don't really know. And where did they come from the east? Probably Babylon, but we don't really know. And how many were there exactly? Three? We don't know. Nevertheless, their story is filled with meaning and messages that I suspect you've heard before many, many times. Regardless, my hope is that God will say something new to your heart today about their wonderful inclusion in this narrative of the coming of Jesus Christ to us. And before I get into that, I'll share this. You may have also heard before someone say about the Magi that if they had been wise women, things would have been different. They would have asked for directions, and they would have arrived on time, and they would help deliver the baby and clean the stable and make a casserole and bring practical gifts. Because there's so much that's unknown about the wise men, tradition has taken over. For instance, tradition paints them as traveling on camels with a starry sky in the background, and they are silhouetted, and palm trees. All that could be true. We don't know. Tradition also says that there were three of them. The Bible does not say that. The Bible does say that they brought three gifts. So that's the source of that tradition. And there could have been three, but there could have been many more people in that entourage. In fact, if they were wise, it's likely that they would have brought a lot of assistance with them on this trip. But we don't know. Tradition even gives us the names of Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And now that tradition came from Emperor Justinian in the 6th century. And for some unknown reason, he had a mosaic created. And in the mosaic, it showed those three names. And it stuck. Tradition also tells us that the wise men were baptized by Thomas. And then they died. And then their bodies were taken to Constantinople. And their bones later were supposedly moved to Cologne, Germany, where today you can pay an admission price and go in and see them. Tradition, tradition, tradition. God's story of the incarnation of Jesus Christ is filled with traditions and with truth. I love that word you used in your prayer, Alice, and with truth. And our challenge and our invitation is to worship the truth and not the traditions. There are some things we do know about the wise men, and I want to concentrate on those today, and I hope that we can find some life lessons among these things that will guide us. For instance, they observed a star in the heavens, and they stepped out in faith. There's a life lesson for us. Now, why would they do that? I believe that we can safely say it's because they knew, in part, the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures. At least they knew about the star that's in the scriptures. Now, their people, in the East, especially the Babylonians, were familiar, somewhat familiar, with the Jewish Bible, because when the Jews lived in Babylon in exile, they were exposed to the Word of God. And especially when Daniel was in prominent position there, Daniel became the president of the king's wise men. Surely he shared some of God's word. And one of the prophecies to which they were probably exposed is Numbers 24:17. It says, "I see him," referring to Jesus, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel," from the Jews. And there's another one of our life lessons for today. We should all be led by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. The root of God's message for you and for me is found in God's Word. That's a basic of Christianity. You already know that. But you know, as I've said before, I don't know about you, but I need to hear the basics over and over. And I think you do too. We need to be reminded. But to be led by God's Word, now here's something very basic. To be led by God's Word, you need to know God's Word. Duh. You need to read God's Word. You need to study God's Word. You need to meditate on it. How many times have you heard that? How many times? And how many times have you nodded your head and said, "Yes, I agree," and you've aspired to do just that? And how many times have you put it off and off and off and you failed to do it? And how difficult have we made it upon ourselves to spend quality time in God's Word and squeeze it into our schedules? Especially, I think that's true during the Christmas season. We need to be led by God's Word that we know and we pray through and read through and study. God's Word leads us, but God also leads us in a variety of ways. For instance, he led the Hebrews with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He may not lead you in such a dramatic way as that, but he still promises to lead you. Someone said, I like this quote, "The eye of faith is one that is willing to take the next step and trusts that God will direct that step." Does that describe you? It certainly describes Jesus Christ. He was willing to step through the universe. He was willing to step through time itself to come as a helpless baby. But he trusted God for every step that he took on the way for you and for me. And that's another life lesson for us. God guided the steps of Jesus and Joseph and Mary and the wise men. And God guides your steps too, if you allow him to. Oh, now listen, people will think you're crazy sometimes for following a God that you cannot see and you cannot hear. I'll bet that they call the wise men crazy too. I can almost hear the conversation. Hey fellows, are you going on a journey? Yes, we are. Where are you going? We don't know. How long are you going to be there? We don't know. Well, what are you going to be doing when you get there? We're going to worship the king. What king? We don't know. Why? Because we've read the scriptures. And because there's a strange stirring in our hearts. I can just see people shaking their heads and saying, "And we call you wise men?" That's the same conversation that was probably had when Abraham left his home to go to a foreign land that he didn't know where he was going or maybe why. And also, when all of the friends and the families of the disciples said, you're going to leave your livelihood and you're going to follow a fisherman and you're going to be a fisher of men. Look, if people challenge you for following Jesus Christ, you are in good company. So rejoice. So the wise men stepped out in faith. They were led by God's word, and they were not crazy. In fact, they were wiser than most. Why do I say that? Because of what Matthew told us. He said that the wise men ended up in Jerusalem because they had read that a scepter will rise up out of Israel. Why Jerusalem? Well, it was the seat of the Jewish people. It was where the government was located. It was where the temple was located. It was where the priests ministered. And of course, it's because that's where the star led them. And of course, the great palace of Herod was located there. So in their wisdom, having arrived at the Jewish capital, they sought out the king. And they went into Herod's court, and they may have thought that their journey was over. Matthew 2, 2 through 4, they met King Herod, and they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. In their wisdom and in God's guidance, they risked their lives to come into the presence of King Herod to declare that they were looking for the king of the Jews, but that they were lost. Where is he? Where is he? If you have never had the privilege of someone asking you that question, where is he? And the privilege of giving them your answer, I hope God gives you that privilege before you die. It's a wonderful part of walking with him. That's a life lesson for us. Now, Herod was a wise man himself, at least in the eyes of the world. Herod had all the money, he had all the authority, he had all the glory, political power that you could ask for, but he did not know the answer to that great question, where is he? And as you know, Herod called upon the Jewish priests and teachers and asked them if they knew the answer. And they said, well, yes, we do. It's in the book of Micah. Evidently, the wise men did not read the book of Micah. The Jewish priests and teachers told Herod that Bethlehem was the place. But this is interesting. They did not bother to go to Bethlehem themselves. In all likelihood, they did not believe that the Messiah had actually come. And they just reported what they knew that their prophets had said long ago. They were as unwise as Herod was unwise. One of our life lessons, I think, is this. You can know God's word, but fail to follow it. You can know who the Christ of Christmas is and fail to follow him. You can be considered wise in your Christian life by others, but you can be blind, deaf, and dumb unless the Holy Spirit of God touches your heart and opens your eyes and your ears and leads you into steps of faith to believe in Jesus Christ. That's another basic of our Christian faith. And that should definitely be your prayer this Christmas, and not just for yourself, but for all of your family and all of your friends. May God touch your heart, and may God touch the hearts of all those whom you love. And you know, I'll bet if we gave everyone an opportunity to stand up and share right now, every person in here could probably name a family member who needs to hear that message. May he show you and them his star once again. And may he lead you to that miraculous birth, to that miraculous rebirth that came as a result of Christmas. Everything that he wants it to be and you to be. Moving on. One of the most important lessons from the wise men is that they came for one purpose. And that purpose was to worship. To worship the newborn king. That is actually rather amazing, isn't it? They came from a pagan world. They worshiped stars. They probably worshiped pagan gods. And they were willing to go and worship a foreign king. But Matthew tells us that they were still not ready for what happened to them when they finally got there. We're told that when they saw the baby Jesus, they fell down and worshiped him. Not because falling on their knees or on their faces was in their plan at all, but it was in God's plan all along. You see, the original verb for falling down literally means that they fell down involuntarily. I hope you've heard that before. I think I've said that every Christmas because it's one of my favorite parts of this story. They had no choice. The Holy Spirit zapped them. They lost their balance. They fell. I believe that's when they knew that they were worshiping not just a worldly king, but they were worshiping something that was divine, and it changed their lives. When did you come to know that? Have you ever climbed on a proverbial camel and gone through life looking for a Christmas card savior? Or has the Holy Spirit quickened your heart and introduced you to the King of Kings? So that you know that you know that you know that he is the chosen one. He is God's plan for your salvation. He is the one who controls the stars. Those wise men, they came to worship him, and they also came prepared. They had gifts with them. That was customary in that particular culture. But it's very interesting. They did not bring gifts to King Herod. They weren't expecting to meet King Herod. They didn't give him gifts as far as we know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we are told that there were three gifts that they brought to the baby Jesus. And I'm sure that you probably know about those gifts. I don't think they fully grasped the significance of those gifts that they planned when they first left their homes to go into the little hamlet of Bethlehem. And I suspect when they were falling on their knees or on their faces before that little baby, they might have realized the divine power and significance and symbolism of those three gifts. And partly because those gifts were more than a tribute to a worldly king, they were an offering. An offering of worship. Prophetic symbols. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold speaks to the wealth of a king. Frankincense speaks to the worship of a priest. And myrrh speaks of the work of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Wealth, worship, work. That would be a good sermon title, wouldn't it? In fact, I almost call this sermon just that, wealth, worship, and work. but I came up with a different title, and I'll tell you why. Let's just say that that applies to me and to you today. It says, it imposes a question, what do you bring to Christ this Christmas? Now, all of that, everything that I've been talking about so far, brings me to this. And this is one of the most important parts of the message of the wise men. It says in Matthew 2:12, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, the wise men departed to their own country by another way. And that's from the English Standard Version. The NIV says, by a different route. The C.H. Causey version says that they went home by a different way. And that's the title I chose for this message. Here's my application. When a wise man or a wise woman meets Jesus Christ, they're never the same again. They cannot go the same way that they did before. When you encounter the reality of Jesus Christ, you know the way, and it changes you. Peter, Andrew, James, John, they were successful businessmen. And then they met Jesus, and they went a different way. Paul was a murderer of Christians, and then he met Jesus, and he went a different way. When you met Jesus Christ, you chose to go a different way. Not everyone came with you. But over the years, there may have been times in your life when you wandered from that way, from that path. You may have disappointed the Lord. And you may have disappointed even yourself. Some of you may be there right now. You have followed the star. You have worshiped the Lord. You have given him your whole heart. But right now, you may be feeling lukewarm. Well, I suspect you know what I'm going to say next. Listen to that voice inside of you, brothers and sisters. Listen to that voice telling you what you know you need to do. Bring him your gifts. Worship him. And restore your feet to the way to which he has led you. That would be the best gift that you could bring to Jesus Christ this year. That would be the best gift that you could bring to your loved ones this year. That would be the best gift you could bring to yourself this year. Don't just come to the manger. Come to the Christ of the manger and rejoice that he has shown you a different way. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for sending us the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for the wisdom that you have imparted to us through the wise men. Thank you for our life lessons through them. And Lord, may we embrace them again, anew, and restore our feet on the way to which you have led us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.